questions over the last couple months, and when we talked about Halloween, a lot of y'all said we've never had a Halloween message before, and you know, I wanted to address Halloween, and I want to address Christmas. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today, it's a new sermon series, but truly when tradition clashes with theology, because sometimes it does. You know, our kids today have the pleasure to watch a lot of stuff. They see cartoons, they see action figures, they see all different kinds of things. But I want to talk about Christmas today, and I want to talk about some of the traditions of Christmas. Most of y'all, or not most, but some of y'all are old enough to remember that you could actually drive down the streets years ago and people would have their windows open. Now, people don't do that anymore, but they would have, and you're really going to be old if you know this one, the tinsel tree. You remember that? Yeah, some of y'all are going, oh, yeah. And they had that little wheel, and the wheel would roll around, and it would change the colors of the Christmas tree. You know, my mom and dad bought a, what kind of tree was that? A fiber optic tree. And so, you know, we sat over there and said, well, you could put ornaments on that, Dad. Oh, no, fiber optic tree. They don't have any ornaments. That's what it's all about. And we're like, okay. It's your tree. You can decorate it however you want to decorate it. But, you know, when we used to drive down the neighborhoods and you would look into the windows, you would see all this different kinds of decoration. And there was more emphasis back then on Christmas and nativity than it truly is today. You drive in our towns today, you drive in my neighborhood today, you know, we've exchanged the wooden ones for blow-ups today, and there's all kinds of cartoon decorations, and there's action figure decorations, there's the big blow-up Christmas trees, and the lights, and the candy canes, and the snowmen. And every now and then, you'll drive by a house, and you'll see a manger scene, or you'll see a cross, or a few wise men, and every now and then, you'll see Santa kneeling at the manger. If you weren't a Christian, my first question is, what would you perceive when you drove by these homes? What would be the emphasis? Is it more on decorations, or would it be more based truly upon Christmas or Christ? And maybe if there was a sign in the yard that said, the Savior is born, or a sign that says, Emmanuel, maybe that would provoke a question to go, what does that mean? I want to look today, and I've got my little deal there, honey. Will you give it to me? Kind of. Thank you. No, please. We would all be in trouble, man. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians, and it comes from chapter 9. And Paul says that we as a church need to be all things to all people. So read this with me. It says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews, because I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are not under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. And I have become all things to all men, so that I may be all means by, may by all means save some. And then it ends with, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. So Paul is telling us today, hey guys, we need to be all things to all people. Here's another question for us today. In a society where tradition clashes with theology, where commercialism, where Black Friday, which has totally been taken out of context, and where each store creates their own kind of crippling frenzy with, you know, people parking around the store and staying there for nights to get the first, you know, Apple iPhone that's offered up, where there are no thoughts of Christ in Christmas, how can we today blend theology and traditions so that we can reach today's culture? Because again, Paul just said, guys, we need to be all things to all people. You know, I thought in this church, there's 23 different nationalities in this church. There's all different kind of cultures in this church. There's every kind of denomination that you can think inside the walls of this church. And with that comes all different kinds of beliefs. So if Paul says he wanted to be all things to all people, don't you think that ought to be an example for us to follow, that you and I need to be all things to all people to try to reach the people in the world today? I think it would be sound to do so. But if so, how do we fit in a world of traditions? And how do we ensure that by fitting into the world of traditions that you and I don't cross that line of theology and biblical beliefs that you and I have? And here's the hardest thing of all, and we've talked about it. If you've been to seminary, you understand the word, but it's called hermeneutics. And hermeneutics is, how do you take the culture of 6,000 years ago and make that culture relevant today? How do you do that? Well, that's very difficult to do. But that's the task for pastors today. And how do you make it so it's culturally relevant, so that what we say from the pulpit meets the needs of the people in our church? So I want you to look at Romans 1, 6 and 17. First, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." No matter where we are, no matter how traditions clash with theology, our first and foremost thing is that we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and then also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" What's the definition of faith? Being sure of what you hope for. It's the evidence of things that you and I have not seen in our life. So first, we have to make sure that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think today, in an effort not to offend, we have become more concerned about being politically correct than we have about being biblically correct. The other issue that we have is that we have even allowed, because of being biblically correct or politically correct, people no longer want to say Merry Christmas. Now we want to say Happy Holidays. Now, a holiday is a festive time, but Christmas is about Christ. And Christmas, I want to say Merry Christmas, because without Christ, you and I would truly be in a mess. So another question that I have is, how can we take the traditions that so many of us grew up with and make the light shine, the gospel shine through the light of the traditions that we have? Now, if we're not all things to all people, we're not going to reach people. Last night, I mean, it was crazy over at the tree lighting. All kinds of people came there, and Dustin and Audra and the rest, they passed out flyers to the church. But how can we as a church, this was so cool. I mean, somebody asked me, "Did y'all pick this spot?" I said, "No, it's God." On one side of us is a hypnotist. Yeah. We're here in the middle, passing out hot chocolate, and on the other side is Fish City. Now, I'm not eating food, okay? And I'm thinking, boy, someone needs to hypnotize them or them, but something's got to go here, you know? But it was crazy, and we were in the middle of that. And we were talking about Jesus Christ and him being crucified and talking about the church. But the problem is that we won't reach society today if we're not all things to all people. And the question is, how do we do that? And I will make you a promise as pastor of this church, we will never change the theology of this church. But we might change the methodology of this church. How do you go out and reach people? Because that's important for us to do. Now, most of us grew up with the legend of Santa Claus, okay? But I want to share with you guys that the legend of Santa Claus actually comes from the legend of a person by the name of Saint Nicholas. Now, he was a bishop in the city of Mera, which is in the region of Turkey. And he was a bishop, but that dates back to the 4th century. So how do we get from where Saint Nicholas was there to where we are today? Nicholas inherited a lot of money. His parents had died in a plague, and he received all of their money. A lot of people thought Saint Nick would be somebody that would go out and just go crazy and really turn his life back and his against the Lord. But Nicholas did something that surprised everybody. Everything that he had, he gave away. Everything that he had, he gave to meet the needs of others. And, you know, Saint Nick is an example, in all honesty, for us as believers to follow. And I'm going to share with you why. We know that Christmas is a time where we celebrate Jesus Christ. Christmas is a time where God left heaven, looked down upon mankind and said, you guys are in trouble, and I'm going to solve that because I want to fellowship with y'all again. And he brought to us Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ was born in a manger. Everybody thought that it probably should have been the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, but he was born in a manger. It was a dirty place to be, and there was no other place for them to go. Now, I don't know if you understand this. Look at John 8. So Jesus was saying to those Jews, let me back up. I think I messed it up. I am right. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are a true disciple of mine. But this is what's important. It says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is important for us today is to know the truth. We don't need any fairy tales. We don't need to live on anything based upon traditions. But we need to live on truth. And my prayer for all of us is that the truth will set us free. Now, Matthew says this. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now, this is a conversation that they're having, and it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God is with us. Now, what's important for the world to understand today is that God is with us. What the world needs to understand today is that our Lord will never leave us and our Lord will never forsake us. You know, when you say happy holidays, we say that that's supposed to be a wonderful time of festivity, supposed to be a very high time in all of our lives, but the holidays are difficult times. A lot of people are suffering because they've lost family. A lot of people are going through issues. A lot of people don't have the money to do what everybody else does. Sometimes the holiday is not the holiday that we want it to be. But what we have to let the world know today is that Emmanuel, God is with us. And that's a great thing to have. Something else is after Jesus ascended into heaven, his physical appearance was no longer on this earth. So now we have to live in the example that he set. And I think that the church proper has really failed, not this church, but the church proper has failed trying to be that example. Now, Saint Nick lived his life to help others, and in doing so, this is what happened. He showed the reality of Jesus Christ, and he gave freely to the poor, therefore fulfilling the man's commands of the Lord. We all need to be Saint Nick. We all need to go out and help people today that are truly struggling, people that have needs, and we need to give from the excess that our God has given us. John says, but whoever has the world's goods and he sees his brother in need and he closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. What is Christmas about? Well, truly, it's about the celebration that Jesus Christ has come. See, Scripture was written, and the stories have been retold as an example for all of us to follow. Look at James chapter 2. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is it? And then it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, it's dead being by itself. In the day of Saint Nick, if you were poor, you were destined to be a slave, because that's the only way you could make money. And Saint Nick would find people that were in need, and he would give them money. And I don't remember the whole story of it, but he would put money in a sock, and he would toss that money either through a window or he would give it to them, which brought about the tradition today of hanging up a stocking on the chimney levels, not chimney, but the mantles. But, yeah, that's tough. Go get it. There it is. Anybody got a ladder? There it is. No, but he was trying to show people to go, listen, I'm just here to help. I want you to become somebody, and I want to raise you from being a slave, and I want to bring you up to where God wants you to be. Do you know that everybody in this room today has an opportunity to do the same thing? Do you know that there are people in this world that are absolutely in major distress, and you could be the Saint Nick in their life? You could go over and give them some money. You could give them a turkey. You could do whatever it might take, and you would move them from a level to a slave to move them up to somebody that could be respected in this world, and you could do it to the cause of Christ, and our Lord would bless you for blessing them. Now, there's tons of people out here today that are truly in need. James says, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. See, the problem with the church today is that we come in and we want to celebrate Christmas, but our next-door neighbor might be hurting, and people need to look at us to say, I see Christ in you. Or if you see somebody at the store, and I'm not saying this to get a pat on the back, this was God. A little lady was at Kroger's the other day, and it's so sad. She was buying mustard greens. She had this big deal of mustard greens. That's all she had. And she was counting her pennies, putting it down, and she's like, you know, dollar, two, dollar. And she was, I mean, it just broke my heart. And I didn't say anything to her, but I told the lady that was checking out, I said, I'll get it. It was like $2.30. And the lady made the statement. She said, oh, we had these the other night for supper. They were good, and we're going to have them again. Now, that's all she had. There are tons of people out there. And you and I need to be the people that not just talk about our faith, but we need to be the people that will help people. Maybe you buy a Christmas dinner this year. Maybe you go mow the grass for somebody this year. Maybe you put up a Christmas tree for somebody this year. But go out and demonstrate your faith, not by your words, but truly by your works. See, St. Nicholas gave to those who were poor. He assisted those who were truly living in slavery. He put money in sacks, like I said before, socks, and everything that St. Nick did followed the examples of Jesus Christ. And this Christmas, everything you and I should do should follow the examples of Jesus Christ and to go out and help the poor. Now, a lot of people go, well, okay, St. Nick, where did the legend of this red robe come from, or the red suit that, quote, St. Nick wore? Well, in those days, bishops wore red robes. St. Nick had a beard, and the legend began to unfold right there. Now, the word Christmas comes from a Latin word, to send Christ. So when we say, let's take Christmas out, no, we need to keep Christmas in. Because again, that word specifically means to send Christ. And if Christ wasn't sent into this world today, you and I would truly be in trouble. We've heard the term Kris Kringle. You've seen it on TV and movies. But it's the English form of the German name for Christ child. There's another Dutch pronunciation of St. Nicholas, and it's called Sinterklaas. And Saint, which is St. Nicholas, comes from a word meaning one who belongs to God. So when we talk about some of the things about Christmas, my question is, should we celebrate St. Nicholas? Should we celebrate Santa Claus? And I say yes, if you know the whole story. Now, St. Nick's life honored Jesus Christ, and so should ours. Everything that we do this Christmas and from the Christmas to come should honor our Lord. We should honor him with our works and our deeds and our words and our faith and our life. You and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. When people see us during Christmas time, they ought to see Christ in us, and we ought to be there to help them, to raise them, and be the Saint Nick in their life. Now, St. Nick did not give, though, which is important. One of the traditions that we hear so often now with Christmas is you have to be good. But see, St. Nicholas didn't give based upon whether you were good or bad. St. Nicholas gave because you had a need in your life. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. See, Christ gave, church, so that you and I might have. And you and I need to give so that others might have in their life today. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and it's not of our works. See, we need to understand that in Christmas time or in Easter time or whenever it might be, we're not saved because we're good. There's nobody in this room good. The Bible says that there's no one perfect, no, not one. You and I are saved today because of the grace of Almighty God, and that is the only thing that saves you and me, is God's grace. Now, I don't know what happened to the slides, but they're all kind of out of whack for whatever reason. There we go. Matthew 6 talks about how do we give? If you see someone in need, do you tell everybody that you just gave somebody something? A lot of people do. But when Saint Nick gave, he gave in secret. People didn't even know that he was the one that was giving. He just loved them enough to give it because, again, he wanted to raise them up and get them out of the position that they were in. Can the legend of Saint Nick extort the story of Christmas? And again, I say that it can. See, Christ gave so that others might have. And Saint Nick followed the examples of Christ, and he gave so that others might have. And that's a vanishing, I think, quality today. People don't give. And my question is why? How are we going to take the traditions of old and meet the theology of today so that people understand that Christmas is culturally relevant and we're here to help? What do you think? What can we do? How do we move past where we are to a place where we can begin to show Christ in our neighborhood and in our community? It's going to take everybody here to be a part of that. See, Saint Nick followed the commands of Christ. First of all, he gave to the needy. He gave in secret. A lot of people don't know this, but he was persecuted. He was persecuted for his faith. He was persecuted for his generosity. But in the midst of all of it, he showed his reality of Jesus Christ. And many people became believers of Jesus Christ through the actions of Saint Nick. Now, not only our children, but we need to be reminded of the generosity of Saint Nicholas, and people need to see Christ in our actions. So many people today want to shy away from the legends of Saint Nick. They want to shy away from the term Santa Claus or Kris Kringle or center glass. And through the legend of Saint Nick, we see the picture of giving in a world that truly a world that has become selfish. But see, think about if you sat down and said the story this year to your children about Saint Nicholas and our grandchildren, that if they followed the examples of Saint Nicholas, that he would show what the true meaning of Christmas really is. See, through the generosity of Saint Nick, our children can be reminded of the gospel. They can be reminded of someone that loved the Lord so much that they were obedient and went out and helped the needs of others. They showed the reality of Christ, and then we could sit down with our kids and our grandkids and show what Saint Nick did, but sit down and show with them. But let me tell you the greatest gift that was ever given. And that greatest gift was when God came from his heavens and he came to earth and he manifested himself in a little baby by the name of Jesus, and God gave his son so that you and I might have. How awesome would that be, the story that we could tell our kids today? They're going to walk in the malls and they're going to see red suits. They're going to go places and they're going to see Santa Claus and they're going to ask questions. But instead of just coming up with, well, that's Santa Claus, or some parents telling the stories of traditions about the other things that various cultures have built into the story, how awesome would it be to sit there to go, you see the man in the red suit? Let me tell you about him. He's an example for you and I to follow. He's an example because he gave to the needy. He helped people rise up from where they are to where they are today. And he's an example for all of us to follow. Now, how awesome would it be to share that story instead of just sharing the story that so many people have shared so long ago. I want to end with this. One day, no matter if it's St. Nick, if it's Santa Claus, if it's Kris Kringle or Sinterklaas, call it what you want, but one day, every knee is going to bow. And they're going to bow to the name that is above all names, and that name is Jesus Christ. And sometimes it takes an example of others so that we could see a picture through someone else's life to see the real picture of what Christmas really is. God gave, church, so that you and I might have. And that's the real reason for the season. And we need to do the same. We need to always celebrate Christmas for one reason. God is with us. Amen? Amen.